glad to see you here this morning. I want to share out of Ephesians this morning. You know, of course, it's Father's Day. And there are some of our families that have gone to visit with their family, their fathers today. And I appreciate that and them going to have Father's Day with their father. But I want to read this morning about relationships. And the thing that Pastor and I have learned through all of our nearly 47 years of marriage is that the greatest thing that my children can see is their daddy loving me. And the greatest example we've got of how a husband is supposed to love his wife is the example of how Christ loves the church. As a matter of fact, the scripture I'm going to read, it compares it to that. So I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible, Ephesians 5, 21 to 28. And this is a commandment. This isn't just do this if you want to. Paul's saying, this is what I want you to do. He says, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Now, in our world today, if you observe couples, how many couples do you actually see them in public and around and everything that absolutely you see such a respect for each other? There's where it starts. I've been in situations where I've heard the wife put the husband down or the husband put the wife down so many times, and I'm going, I don't like to be around that couple. And listen to what he says. He says, wives, understand and support your husbands in the way that you show support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not with domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives likewise submit to their husbands. Now, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. It's a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring out the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. Everything that Christ does for us is to bring out the best in us. So your motives, husbands, is it everything you do for your wife, not just for yourself, but everything you do, your attitude toward her should make her more beautiful. It should bring out the more beauty in her. Because it's a love marked by giving. Everything he does, it says, is designed to bring out the best in her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives, because they're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. Yes, husbands, you'll do your wife, you'll do your own self a favor if you'll love your wife as Christ loves the church. That everything, our thoughts and our attitudes for each other, are to bring out the best in each other and not the worst. My job is not to show up Jerry's faults. Do I know his faults? Sure, and he knows mine. But you'll never hear about them, because you'll only hear me singing the praises of him, because that's who he really is. Amen? Let's worship God. Father, I just thank you so much for these daddies that are here and for these husbands that are here, Lord. Father, that our homes will so represent you that people will say, that home's got something. They may not be perfect, but I see it in their relationship with each other. I see it that they are courteously reverent to one another and respectful. Father God, I love you so much today. I'm so thankful to be in your house. I'm so thankful to be here, Father, worshiping and praising you. There is no other God like you, Lord. We worship you today because of who you are, Father. You have already done everything for us. And we're here to praise and magnify and just thank you for it today. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Amen.
Only a God like you, only a God like you. Only a God like you.
Yeah.
Only a God like you. Only a God like you. Only a God like you. For the praises of man, I will never, ever stand. For the kingdom of this world, I'll never give my heart away, nor shout my praise, my allegiance and devotion, my heart's desire and all emotion. Go to serve the man who died upon that tree. Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise and all my hope and faith. To only a King of all kings do I bow my knee and sing, give my everything. Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise and all my hope and faith. To only a King of all kings do I bow my knee and sing, give my everything. To only my Maker, my Father, my Savior, Redeemer, Restorer, Rebuilder, Rewarder, to only a God like you do I give my praise. For the praises of man,
come on,
I will never, ever stand. For the kingdom of this world, I'll never give my heart away, but shout my praise, my allegiance and devotion, my heart's desire and all emotion. Gonna serve the man who died upon that tree. Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise and all my hope and faith. To only a King of all kings do I bow my knee and sing, give my everything. Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise and all my hope and faith. To only a King of all kings do I bow my knee and sing, give my everything. To only my Maker, my Father, my Savior, Redeemer, Restorer, Rebuilder, Rewarder, to only a God like you do I give my praise. Only a God like you, only a God like you, only a God like you.
Yeah.
Only a God like you, only a God like you, only a God like you.
To only
my Maker, my Father, my Savior, Redeemer, Restorer, Rebuilder, Rewarder, to only a God like you, do I give my praise. Do I give my praise.
Praise to him this morning, amen. Every praise, that's every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is due our God, amen. Regardless of my circumstances, regardless of how I feel, whether I slept in a lounge chair all week or not, my praise goes to God, amen. Amen. Come on.
Come on, y'all.
Every praise
is to our God.
Is to our God.
Every word of worship. With one accord.
Every praise. Every praise
to our God
is to our God.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
To our God.
Glory hallelujah.
Glory hallelujah
is to our God.
Is to
our God.
Every praise is to our God. Okay, let's do it again, but we're going to take it up a little bit. Every praise is to our God.
Every word of worship.
With one accord. Every praise is to our God. Okay, now sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to our God.
Every praise is to our God.
Take it up one more time.
Every word of worship with one accord.
Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise is to our God.
And I like this part. It goes like this. Say, God, my Savior. Say, God, my Healer. Say, God, my Deliverer.
With one accord, every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory hallelujah is to our God. Hallelujah. If you know of anybody that's walking around with a concept of unworthiness and feeling like there's just no way I can be good, you know, that's not what God wants us to walk in. That's not what God's grace provided for us. And all last meetings, camp meeting services, they're on our website, and you just need to say, hey, you need to go listen to some of that word we had last weekend, and you'll be built up and realize, you know what? I don't wake up every day thinking about what bad stuff I'm going to do, because my Savior has covered everything, and I wake up thinking, you know, I hear from God today, and if I mess up, I say, you know, tomorrow I'll go in a different direction, Lord, but thank you for taking care of me, for loving me enough to give me everything that pertains to godliness in this life. Amen. Oh, come on, praise him today. Hallelujah. I tried to be good all my life, and one day I found out he did it for me. Seems like all I could see was the struggle. That's what I used to look at. I was haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up gonna last. Oh, but look what he did. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that's already been won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Tried all my life. All my life I have been called unworthy. My shame and regret. Oh, me. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. 'Cause I don't have to be the old man inside of me, 'cause his day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. Come on now. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be, because I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Redeemed today. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. Oh, the beauty and the joy of being redeemed. Hallelujah. 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 You know that old hymn some of you remember was redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. That's just another generation of saying the same thing. Amen. They knew something. They knew what some of us have just been finding out. We're his children forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, our Messiah. So awesome and so great. Hallelujah. As we praise him today. Hallelujah.
He became sin who knew no we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing, yeah.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Father God, that this world is not our home, that we're just passing through and our treasures are laid up there, Father God, where our thoughts are today, and we worship and magnify you in the mighty name of Jesus. Even now as we worship, I don't know what's going on in your life, but this altar's open right now as we finish worship, as we worship God, singing about even now as we worship him. You need healing, or if you just want to come and pray, there's something you just want to hand over to God that you're trying to carry out, and carry on your shoulders. Remember, His shoulders are big enough to carry anything. Just magnify Him right now as we worship, and let Him minister to you. praise you, Almighty God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. You know why I know the glory of the Lord's in this place? Because I brought him with me, because he's on the inside of me and he's on the inside of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Just offer him the honor and the praise today, church. Hallelujah. Thank you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, praise and worship team. Amen. God is so good, isn't he? Hallelujah. So many things that God has done. So many people that God has touched. We got even while I was with Jerry and we were meeting all kinds of new people, I got a prayer request from Victoria, and I haven't heard from her this morning, but the first report that they got was that she was in kidney failure. And so I began praying, and I contacted certain individuals to pray, and then different ones that, if they could, to go by and to pray with her. Well, then the next day, I'm texting and everything and saying, well, she said, well, they started working. So last I knew, she was still in the hospital, but you keep lifting her up and thanking God for who he is, that he is the healer. Amen. He is the deliverer. How many of you know he is the provider? He is Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Hallelujah. We're glad to have Glenn and Linda back and their granddaughters back and glad to have them here. And I tell you, God, just folks, we're into a new season here. We're into a new season and God is doing some things. And I just want you to get on board. Amen. Don't be left behind with what God's doing. All right. We want to honor our fathers today. We're so thankful I'm so thankful for my parents, for my dad, and I know Jerry's so thankful for his dad. And, of course, you all remember LaRue. He was just a walking evangelist. You know, you couldn't go anywhere before you know it. Guess what? The Lord was going to be brought up, or he was going to talk about the Lord to somebody. And, you know, I can remember, if y'all remember correctly, it was one of the camp meetings with Clifton Coulter when he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he used to think being slain in the Spirit wasn't anything to it. But I tell you what, God knocked that man down that day. And Nola, I think that was the same weekend that Granny Mitchum got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hey, you know what? God doesn't think about age. You need the Holy Ghost whether you're 3 or whether you're 75. Amen. Or if you're 88, you need the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Working in us. And I'm so thankful for the heritage that Jerry and I both have. And, of course, I think I'm married to the greatest husband and father that ever lived. And every wife should believe that. You're married to the greatest husband. And for your kids, I can remember sitting in one of the youth classes we had one Sunday morning was talking about honoring our parents and everything. And somebody mentioned the fact, said, well, you know, something I don't always agree, but said, you know what? I got the best parents you could ever have. I mean, they were talking about they didn't always agree with their mom and dad and everything. And then they came right back without even being asked, but you know, I've got the best parents in the world. And I'm going, hey, you know, that's what it's all about. Amen. I would like to, at this time, I'd like to recognize all the fathers that are here. And I know there's some missing, but we've got a little something for you this morning. Would you all come up, please? Amen. Some of them didn't make it. Now, if you're a father or you know another father, we've got a little gift for all of them. You get one for them, okay? Because I know before we pass those out, I want to share this. You all come on up front here. Wow, this is good. Hallelujah. Amen. I found this, and I thought it was really, really good, and I'm going to speak to you dads right now, all you dads, granddads, and dads. It's talking about 7 essential qualities of a successful dad, all right? And it's never too late, if you're not practicing these, it's never too late to begin to practice these, whether your children are young or whether they're grown up and married. You still want to be a successful dad. But here is the problem. It says that many fathers, even in the church, do not know how to successfully parent their kids. But these are seven things I want to share. First of all, a dad needs to be present. Okay? Of course. Statistics show that 39% of students from grades 1 to 12 in the United States live without a father at home. This number has been climbing steadily for decades. Divorce and out-of-wedlock births have made fatherlessness normal, but it's not healthy. A good father does not abandon his kids. He is physically present in the home and emotionally available to support and nurture his children. Psalm 46:1 says, "Our Heavenly Father is a very present help in trouble." If you want to model the love of God to your kids, be there for them. And even if your marriage ended in divorce and you share custody, make every effort to connect with your kids. Amen? The second thing, a dad is protective. A good dad draws clear boundaries. He teaches his kids that choices have consequences, and he warns his children about the dangers of sin. Successful dads teach their sons and daughters the rules of life from Scripture. Good dads say, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." That's Proverbs 1:8. Successful fathers don't let their kids run wild. Successful fathers don't let their kids run wild. They instill discipline with appropriate punishment to instill character. And good dads don't shy away from talking to their kids about sex and the importance of purity. Number three, a dad is affectionate. God created us with a need for affection. Scientists have proven that human beings cannot thrive without receiving several expressions of meaningful touch every day. Yet I cannot tell you how many people I've met around the world who tell me their fathers never hugged them or said, "I love you." If you want healthy kids, hug them often. Bounce them on your knee when they were small, and keep pouring out on that affection when they're teens. Physical affection strengthens the bond between you and your kids and makes them feel secure and affirmed. A dad is encouraging. Your words have the power to make or break your children. In the Bible, we see that a father's blessing has the power to propel a child into his or her destiny. Don't withhold the blessing. Don't remind your kids of their failures. Don't withhold your love when they don't perform according to your expectations. A successful father knows how to see the best in his kids, even when they disappoint him. Your words provide the fertilizer that will cause your children to grow. A dad is gentle. I have ministered to countless people over the years who struggle in life because their fathers were either physically or verbally abusive. Many Christian fathers discipline their kids in anger or lash out at them with threats and put-downs. Yet Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart." I like the way the Message version translates it to say, "Fathers, don't come down too hard on your children or you'll crush their spirits. Get a grip on your anger before it tears your family apart." Parents who rule their kids with an iron fist will not be able to maintain the bond with their kids once they become teens. A dad is stable. Children who grow up in alcoholic homes develop an inability to trust. If your father was normal one day and then drunk or high on drugs the next day, it's hard to know who he is. This creates instability in a child. Your kids need a father who is steady and consistent. Don't allow any form of addiction to control you. Instead, let your character be as solid as a rock. Let your kids draw security from your consistent behavior. A dad is faithful to God. This is the last one. More than anything else, your kids need to know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. They need to hear you pray. They need to see you worship both at church and at home. They need to see you reading the Bible and living it out, and they need to hear you sharing your faith with others. No dad is perfect, but I am sure you are aware of your fatherly failures. But if you seek to honor God in front of your kids, they'll want to follow your example. Wow. That's tough. Those seven things. But those are the things you need to be doing. And the Word of God will back up everything that was said there. I want to pray for you, and then Kenzie, go ahead and pass them out. Of course, you know, what do you get me in? They've got everything that you can right now. We couldn't afford to get everybody all the big things. So we got you a nice ink pen, very nice ink pen. Try not to lose this and let your kids borrow it, you know. Jerry puts his up on our chest of drawers, and when he needs a nice pen, that's what he does. You know, I see so many situations where children don't have anything to do with their parents. They're not in their lives. I know situations, even within certain areas of my family. What? Oh, somebody's got something for their dad. Look here. Oh, happy father. Look at that. Look at that card. You think you can handle that card, Josh? Wow, look at this. Wow, let me show this to everybody. Look what they made. Look there. Look what they made him for their dad. Look there. And then they fixed it and decorated. Wow. I think this is a keeper, Josh. Now, they're probably, I don't know what all that is, but, oh, goodness. They probably want part of it. That's why they got it for you. Go ahead, hon, and pass out their gifts. You got your pens? All right, and like I said, if you have a father or you know someone that just couldn't make it today, we've got extra pens, and you get them and make sure they get them. But now I'm going to pick three numbers. I'm going to pick, I should have done this ahead of time, but I'm going, and I'm going, all right, I got them. The first one is number 4. I did not know he was number 4. Oh, did he change places with you? All right. All right, the next number is number 5. Well, there you go. And number 12. Is there a 12? Who is it? Well, looky there. All right. But I happen to believe we've got the best dads and fathers of any church around. And listen, come on, ladies and children, just stretch your hand forth. Amen. We're going to pray over them. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for Danny. And I thank you for Brad. And I thank you for Brian. And I thank you for Jeff. And I thank you for Cole and Jerry and Tony and Jimmy. Got to think everybody's name. And Ricardo. And I thank you for Glenn and Bobby and Josh. And Father God, right now, that the mantle that you've placed upon them, Father God, is a heavy mantle. But you said you would equip them to be the kind of fathers and the kind of husbands they need to be. And I thank you, Father God, that after today, they'll never be the same. They'll be stronger in their dependence on you, Father God, because you will grant them the wisdom they need to be what they need to be. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Amen. Give them a hand. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, church, we live in a broken world, but our church is not broken. The church of Jesus Christ, and the good thing that we've been seeing, the church of Jesus Christ, and I found that, and I tried to share it with everybody, is that this is not a white church. The church of Jesus Christ is not a black church. The church of Jesus Christ is recognized by the fact that it's red because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that makes a church is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to turn our service over to Pastor Shirley. And you want me to go ahead and dismiss? I'm going to dismiss the classes today.